to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Do you know when the church fathers were revived? The Reformation. In fact, our reformers said, we are going back to the scriptures and the church fathers.
But the deliverer is not come until Christmas. The deliverer doesn't come until Good Friday and Easter. The deliverer, it's not Saul, it's not even David, it is the son of David who sits at the right hand of God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus, mysteriously, is already working it in us, and we have this promise that by eating the supper, not only are our sins forgiven, but our body and blood are going to become like his body and blood, risen from the grave.
Topics you can really sink your teeth into. That's why Iowa dentists love Issues Etc.
Well, movement in presidential staff and departments is not unusual at all. Everybody has to settle in. Movement of that kind in the Trump administration is, well, at an accelerated pace. One of those moves has some American Muslim groups concerned, the movement of Mike Pompeo to run the State Department. What are American Muslim groups concerned about? Greetings, welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, March 14th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to kick off today's program talking with Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch, about criticism from Muslim groups over President Trump's choice for Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Holly Shear will join us after that to talk about Hillary Clinton's recent comments on the 2016 presidential election at a conference in India. Dr. Brian Miller joins us. Of course, the big news today is that theoretical physicist Stephen Hawking has died. We'll reflect on his life and legacy and his work with Brian Miller of the Discovery Institute. And then we're going to discuss two issues in hour two with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. First, Christian emotions. What proper place do they have in the Christian faith? And then he has some recent experience and a long time of pastoral experience at the deathbed. We'll talk with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller about what to do as you approach that place where someone is dying. Feel free to join us with questions or comments over the next 2 hours. Our call in number 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about criticism from Muslim groups over President Trump's choice for Secretary of State, Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch and author of several books on Islam, including his latest, Confessions of an Islamophobe. Robert, welcome back.
Great to be here, Todd, always. Thank you.
Why are these Muslim groups, especially here in the United States, concerned about Mike Pompeo moving to the Department of State?
Todd, these are Muslim Brotherhood groups. These are groups with demonstrable ties established by the Justice Department to the Muslim Brotherhood, which is dedicated in its own words, according to a captured internal document, to eliminating and destroying Western civilization from within. The Council on American-Islamic Relations and the other groups that have been complaining about Pompeo, they all are tied to the Brotherhood. When he was a congressman also, Mike Pompeo co-sponsored the bill to have the Muslim Brotherhood designated a terror organization, as it should be. So, of course, they're gunning for him because they know that he is going to be, if he is able to operate with a free hand, he could be the end of their operations in the United States, which would be a great thing for freedom.
So this isn't just an issue of foreign policy. It's an issue, ultimately, also of domestic policy.
Oh, very much so, yeah. Because, you see, if the Muslim Brotherhood is designated a terror organization, then the groups that are tied to the Brotherhood, that are essentially Brotherhood organizations in the U.S., the Council on American-Islamic Relations, the Muslim Public Affairs Council, even the various Muslim student associations on campuses all over the country and in Canada, they could all be open up to investigation and prosecution. And that would be a great thing because they have been nothing but obstacles to counterterror policies. They have opposed every counterterror measure that's ever been proposed or implemented. They have repeatedly counseled Muslims not to cooperate with investigations of terror activities, not to cooperate with the FBI. CARE gives out pamphlets at its conferences telling Muslims that. And so for a group like that to be treated as if it were a neutral civil rights organization, as it commonly is by the mainstream media, is ridiculous. And it needs to be investigated. So we can hope that the appointment of Pompeo as Secretary of State will set all this in motion.
In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Pompeo, I think while a lawmaker representing Kansas co-sponsored a bill that would have banned the Muslim Brotherhood or its connections operating in the United States.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. It would make it, have the Brotherhood be designated a terror organization, and that would be the end of the line for these pseudo-moderate groups that have caused so much destruction in counter-terror policy in the U.S.
How has the Muslim Brotherhood escaped the designation from the State Department of a terrorist group?
Well, they have friends in high places. Remember that the Obama administration not only did not want to have the Muslim Brotherhood designated a terror organization, but was actively favoring it to the extent that in Egypt, when the Brotherhood regime was toppled there in 2013, demonstrators were actually holding signs in Cairo reading, "Obama, stop supporting terrorism. Stop supporting this terrorist organization." And it seems as if the Egyptian people knew what the Obama administration refused to admit. And of course, there's so many Obama holdovers still in positions of power and influence in the State Department and in Washington in general, that the Brotherhood has been able to evade prosecution. As a matter of fact, in 2009, when Obama became president, there were active investigations going on in the previous administration of CARE and other Muslim groups that were tied to the Brotherhood, and the Obama administration immediately quashed them.
So what do we know about the demonstrable connections between the Muslim Brotherhood and certain, as you say, kind of pseudo-moderate Muslim groups in the United States, how they operate? Is it down at the mosque level? What do we know about that kind of those kind of connections and operations?
It's down to the mosque level in some places, but these groups have gotten to be very, very secretive about what goes on at individual mosques, and it's much easier to identify the major Muslim organizations as being Brotherhood organizations. Chief among those, of course, is CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. And they have been tied to Hamas, which calls itself the Muslim Brotherhood for Palestine, ever since the Holy Land Foundation trial about 10 years ago. The Holy Land Foundation, of course, was at that time the largest Muslim charity in the United States. And it was shut down for funneling money to Hamas. And CARE was named, along with many of the other major Muslim organizations in the United States, they were named unindicted co-conspirators in that trial because CARE was collecting money for the Holy Land Foundation, claiming it was for the victims of 9/11, when actually it was going to Hamas.
So this is the kind of stuff that, is it possible that members of, any individual members of mosques, wherever they may be, are themselves unaware that they may be unwittingly funding these operations outside the U.S.?
That could well be, absolutely, because you could go to the mosque and say your prayers and not be particularly active in the leadership, and you don't know what is being done with the charitable donations that are given, that are required of Muslims to give, and so on. And so it's this certainly is not an indictment of every individual Muslim or even every individual mosque, but it certainly is an indictment of the major Muslim organizations in the U.S., CARE, the Muslim American Society, the Islamic Society of North America, and so on.
So what would happen if the Muslim Brotherhood were designated by the State Department as a terrorist organization, which would, in effect, make it possible to enforce law against sending money to that organization by anyone in the U.S.? What would actually happen?
What would actually happen is that it's likely that CARE and the others would be investigated, would probably be shut down for their terror ties. And this would have a transformative effect on the Muslim community in the United States, because then genuinely moderate voices would have a chance to step up and take over that leadership. The mosques that are enabling terror activity or financing it or approving of it, they would be able to be investigated and shut down as well. And this immense voice that opposes counterterror efforts and for years has demonized those who call attention to jihad activity in the mainstream media would be removed, and that would be all to the good.
Do you think it's possible that this may happen?
Oh, very much so, yeah. There are significant forces within the Trump administration that want that Muslim Brotherhood terror designation. Pompeo is one of them, and so the fact that he is being elevated is clearly a boost to that initiative.
How should the Trump administration respond to the inevitable charges of both racial and religious discrimination?
Well, of course, in the first place, Islam is not a race, and there are jihad terrorists of all races, as well as Muslims in general of all races. And so that's just, it's a ridiculous charge that's just designed to manipulate the American public and mislead the American public. As far as religious discrimination goes, the Trump administration can and should emphasize that Muslims are perfectly welcome to practice their religion in the United States. They are just not welcome, just like anybody else is welcome, to commit crimes. And if the crimes are sanctioned by their religion, that doesn't give them an excuse. If there is a religion that sanctions violence against those who don't believe in it, then if that's Islam or any other religion, then the people who hold to that religion can come here. But if they start to commit acts of violence against those who don't believe or do other things that are against existing laws, then they should be prosecuted according to those existing laws.
Earlier in our conversation, you said if Mike Pompeo is able to operate with a free hand, it may bring about some of these transforming changes here. What did you mean by if he's able to operate with a free hand?
Well, you know, the Trump administration is in a very interesting position. I think that a lot of us assumed, maybe most of us assumed, at the time that he became president, that he would be able to implement the policies that presidents are usually able to implement. And nobody anticipated that he was going to have this severe, significant, ongoing, deeply rooted pushback from within government agencies in the United States. And now, of course, we know all about the deep state and the fact that there is a significant number of Obama holdovers and leftists within the administration who just don't want to allow any of its policies to be implemented, and they're very powerful. We'll see how much Pompeo is able to do.
Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch, author of several books on Islam, including his latest, Confessions of an Islamophobe. You can purchase this book at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Robert, thank you for your time.
Pleasure. Thank you, Todd.
Making the Case Against Islam will be one of Hank Hanegraaff's speaking topics at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Attendance at the conference is limited to 400. We're halfway there already with less than 3 months to go for registration. Registration is $120, and that includes three meals. Child care is free for children over the age of one, courtesy of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. You'll find a conference schedule, and you can register at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th, 15 miles outside of St. Louis in Collinsville, Illinois. When we come back, we're going to turn to the subject of Hillary Clinton's comments made while in India about the 2016 presidential election. Holly Shear of The Federalist will be our guest next.
Time for the 5th Annual Metro East Home and Garden Show, March 17th and 18th, added to benefit Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville. The show is a fundraiser produced by a volunteer parents group with the support of over 70 exhibitors and partners. Admission and parking are free. Hear home and garden speakers from Priscilla's Nursery and Mosby Building Arts. See a monster truck from Dex's Tree Service. Meet radio personalities and Fred Bird, too. Participate in the Cardinal Glennon Safety Fair, child fingerprinting and fire safety, and take advantage of pet adoption, electronic recycling, and shredding services on site. Register to win a fire pit from Outdoor Creations and an all-inclusive trip for two at an AM resort courtesy of Jadina Tweston at Travel One and Fun Jet Vacations. Restrictions apply. The Metro East Home and Garden Show is sponsored by the Bank of Edwardsville, CJDE Recycling, Scott Credit Union, Mosquito Joe's, Riverbender, and EdGlennToday.com. Show details can be found at mehgs.org or on Facebook.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.